This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good Tuesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Continuing our previews of the AFC South this week, we'll be going to Indianapolis to chat about the Colts, a really, really interesting team, at least over the last, I don't know, you could go back 10 years since Peyton Manning suffered that neck injury and then sat out that season that led them to Andrew Luck to where they are today, which is five quarterbacks in 5 years going back to Luck's final season. They have found Phillip Rivers on their roster. They brought in Carson Wentz, and now they have Matt Ryan, a team that went 9-8 last season, and a massively, massively disappointing 9-8. Because if you remember, late in the season, they went to Arizona, beat the Cardinals, and they were like the hottest team in the NFL. And then they lost at home to Las Vegas, and then the last game of the season just blew up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not only did they lose that game, it kept him out of the playoffs, and Carson Wentz's job with the Colts, they ship him off to Washington, and then acquire Matt Ryan, who, you know, when you talk about dominoes falling in sports, sometimes dominoes fall in the right way for you. The Atlanta Falcons were looking to get a new quarterback, and by the way, Deshaun Watson just happened to be available, and the Falcons went off to pursue him. And because they pursued him, Matt Ryan was wondering where exactly is the direction of this team and requested a trade, and they sent him to Indianapolis because, Lord knows, the Colts were looking for a new quarterback. But it has not been a steady position for them since having two franchise quarterbacks in both Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. Luck, of course, retiring much earlier than we anticipated with a series of injuries that kind of cost him a long-term career. But the Indianapolis Colts will have a new quarterback. They still have Jonathan Taylor. There's a bunch of young wide receivers there. But this, again, is a division where you've got two teams sort of working their way back up in Jacksonville and Houston, and another team in Tennessee that had a very good year last year, the number one team in the AFC, but didn't have a lot of believers, you know, in terms of a Super Bowl potential. So that's where Indianapolis is. We'll preview them. We'll also talk some college football because the AP poll came out yesterday. Nothing big or surprising, but there are some winners and losers we want to discuss. And we'll also get back into the NFL as we take a look at the preseason games and some of the things that have happened in the first preseason game leading us into the next round of exhibitions. It's all coming up hour as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Glad you'd be with us.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Indianapolis Colts are on the clock today. 9-8 last season, missed playoffs, lost to Jacksonville. Should have never lost to Jacksonville. Ha 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 ha. Nevertheless, Matt Ryan, 37 years old, is going to be their quarterback. Another quarterback under center for Frank Reich. I mean, it was Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and now Matt Ryan. It's 5 in 5 years. Can't be consistent if you have change a quarterback constantly. But nevertheless, they seem to get, you know, competent people to do it. Carson Wentz's season last year wasn't terrible, but it wasn't as good as people thought it was going to be. And I said when he got traded, I'm like, if you're going to have a second act, I think the Colts set him up for the best second act you could. He was reuniting with Frank Reich, his coach in Philadelphia. He had a good offensive line, or a better offensive line, and a running game with Jonathan Taylor. There was a defense that wasn't going to put him out on the field constantly because they couldn't make stops. All right, there was a lot of things to like about the way the Indianapolis Colts were built to give Carson Wentz every opportunity to have that, you know, that resurgence in his career. Now he's in Washington fielding questions about whether or not anybody wants him. But Matt Ryan goes pretty much to the same spot. They got one of the more dynamic running backs in Jonathan Taylor. Again, a better defense, a team that's not rebuilding, a team that was so disappointed they didn't get in on the playoffs that Carson Wentz is gone. So Matt Ryan steps into that rather than a rebuilding situation in Atlanta. But what else is there brewing in Indianapolis? So we'll talk about that as the show progresses and as we continue previews this week of the AFC South. We've got Tennessee and Houston later on this week. The AP College Football Poll was released yesterday. Yay! If you're a college football fan, we talked about it with the coaches poll. The AP has a little bit more impact. There is a sort of a summer tradition of this where you get a feeling of where everything is in college football by this top 25 poll, even though everybody knows this is a very flexible and teams that are not in will get in. Teams that are on the list are not on, will not be on the list as the season progresses. But it does anger some, and it does make some a little giddy. I know where, I live here in Nashville. Tennessee is expected to have one of the more dynamic offenses in college football, led, of course, by Josh Heupel, who did that at UCF. And the defense on the other hand, has been a little bit suspect. They're not going to have one of the best defenses, but there is a feeling, though, that Tennessee should have been in the top 25. Now, here's why. There were five teams from the ACC that got in. A couple teams from the Big Ten got in. But there were six teams from the SEC. It was the most of any conference. Then, of course, there's Alabama and there's Georgia in the top three. Texas A&M is in the top 10. After that, here are the other three teams that are from the SEC that are in the top 25. Kentucky, Arkansas, and Ole Miss. Now, all of them had good seasons last year, but Tennessee fans feel like they're on par with those teams. And those teams getting ranked seems a little, if you're going to keep Tennessee out, that doesn't make a lot of sense to them why Kentucky, Arkansas, and Ole Miss are in. And I can understand that. And again, you can talk people off the ledge of it's a preseason poll, relax, there's nothing to this. But I think that the one aspect of college sports that is so played on by the media and corporations and whatnot is there's so much collegiate pride that that's the thing that bogs people down in all this. You can't just go, oh, Texas or Tennessee or anybody else that didn't get in. Oh, it's okay. When we play more games, people will see how good we are. If we're up to that level, and they'll rank us accordingly. They don't see it that way. A lot of fans don't see it that way. They see it as, you don't like my team for some reason. There's something about my team you don't like. You don't like us. You're against us. And that's not really true, right? It's just not really true. AP voters are voting. They tally up the points, and here you go. This is your top 25. But again, it does make the season exciting when you put a little number next to the teams. But if anybody hasn't noticed, week zero, there's nobody ranked. There's no ranked teams playing in week zero. Now, I know what week zero is. Week zero is the appetizer to the meal. That it's not meant to be a springboard to the great games of college football. They're smart enough to keep all of the bigger competition on Labor Day weekend, the real opening weekend of college football, the Thursday night games, the Saturday night games, the Sunday game, the Monday game, like all of that weekend when there's college football, the bigger matchups are that weekend. The week zero is not really meant for Alabama to be playing somebody. It's not meant for Notre Dame to be playing somebody. I get it. It's sort of like an appetizer to the meal. It's not even really an appetizer, to be honest with you, because I mean, I think there's one conference matchup, and I think it's Northwestern against Nebraska. I think that's it. Everything else is just sort of, smaller school playing not-so-good school, and that's your week zero schedule. But the reality of it is that, again, the top 25 poll, I've said it many times. I said it with the coaches poll, and I'll say it here. It's one of those things that is not necessary at all in sports. We don't need it. We don't need the rankings. It is a marketing tool, but in the end, we don't need them. We don't need them in other sports. You don't need to go into the NFL season with a Power 5 ranking. We don't need to do that. We can let the sport play itself out until games are underneath our belt to determine the rankings. But I think if it was taken away, I think we would miss it. I really do. Because I don't think it's not that there's real debate and real argument and real, like, let's break down the top 10. That team is sixth. They should be fourth. That team is fourth. They should be seventh. I don't think people really do that in a serious way. They may say, that's a little overrated, that's a little underrated. But I don't, you know, I don't find a lot of value in people going, I've redone the top 25. I don't think it's necessary. But every sport needs a sort of springboard. And even though we don't have a ranking or power rankings, we don't go into the NFL season going number 7 Raiders taking on the number 15 Steelers. We don't do that. But we also do know, going into the season, who we think should be good and who we don't think needs some things to work on. College football, because of its locality, it's allowing people to sort of see what the big picture of the sport looks like to people that follow the sport at the beginning of the season without it really containing a lot of value. So if you're, again, an SEC fan and you're following that conference closely, maybe the Pac-12 doesn't interest you at all, but you know USC got ranked. You know Oregon is ranked, right? You know that there are teams, all right, this is where they are right now. Maybe I'm not paying attention to what they're doing up north playing football, but I know Ohio State's good, and I know Michigan is good, and Michigan State's good, and Wisconsin is ranked, and all of those things. That's the only value it has. So I think if it was taken away, I think we would miss it, even though we don't really do anything with it. But, man, I'm telling you, we all have our own teams, and we all like the things about our teams that we're looking forward to. Spencer Rattler in South Carolina has me as fired up for that season as I've been in a long time, not since the Spurrier days. I for the first time in a long time, the South Carolina Gamecocks have a legit quarterback, a real legit Heisman-level quarterback. What they do with them, I have no idea, but we'll see. But it's exciting. I'm really excited for this upcoming season, just to see how that plays out. And if I've said it once to my SEC friends, I'll say it a million times. I think Billy Napier is going to do a great job at Florida. I don't think it's going to be in the year one, but I think year 2, 3, and 4, you're going to see the recruiting really amped up there. So there are like individual things that we root for. But if you were looking for any real change in the top 25, anything that was out of the ordinary, you didn't quite get it. It's Alabama. It's Ohio State. It's Georgia, Clemson, and Notre Dame. Texas A&M rounding out your top 6, if you want to go that far. That's about it. There's no big pop, no big surprise. Houston Cougars are in the top 25. Cincinnati's in the top 25. But a team like Tennessee that has a lot of hopes, they're not in. Texas, that got one vote in the coaches' poll, they're not in the top 25. So there you have it. All right, coming up, we'll talk more about the Indianapolis Colts. We'll also get into what is going to be going on in golf because the players are having a meeting in Wilmington, Delaware, site of their next a tour event for the tour championship, and Tiger Woods will be in attendance. What will they talk about? We'll talk about that coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Hey, real quick, Tiger Woods is flying up to Delaware. He's not playing, but he's attending an event. A meeting, a players-only meeting. Yeah! As the PGA Tour discusses LIV. I tell you, man, I'm obsessed with this story. I don't know why.
Can't help it.
I can't help it.
It's
the biggest soap opera thing. It's like, you know soap operas? You watch a soap opera, which I don't, but my wife used to. Like, you'd watch, like, Days of Our Lives, which was my wife's favorite. And it was always weird. But nevertheless, it always has, like, some convoluted plot. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't really matter, but it's like you just keep following it. That's what this is. It's in the end, like if you fast forward 5 years, you know what you're going to have 5 years from now? You're going to have guys on the LIV Tour and you're going to have guys on the PGA Tour. And that's the way it's going to be. LIV ain't going anywhere. It's not going to fold up shop. There's too much pride. There's too much ego and there's too much money. It's not going to fold up shop. So 5 years from now, LIV will be playing its events and the PGA Tour will play its events, and that's it. But how we get to like the mud that we're swimming in right now with this is like fascinating to me. So the PGA Tour players, including world number one Scottie Scheffler and Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and now Tiger Woods are all going to have a meeting in Delaware, which is the site of their next event. I think it's like the BMW Championships or something. It's on their FedEx Tour, like FedEx playoff. So they're getting ready for this event. Tiger Woods is going to go up there just for this meeting. He's not even going there to play because he doesn't play. He's going there to talk about LIV and the effects of it. And, you know, Tiger is as anti-LIV golf as Rory McIlroy is, said at the British Open. I don't even understand this. Like, with all the guaranteed money, and why practice? Why grind? Why get better? Like, it's all, you know, it's all just an exhibition. So he's going up there to talk. And what they're going to talk about is, you know, LIV, the future of the PGA Tour, the commitment to the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, who's the commissioner, his future. I mean, is there going to be a power play here with the players who are just going to finally have to get involved in all this? Now, Ricky Fowler said something interesting, and I like Ricky Fowler, but he's not been playing well lately. But he said, hey, look, LIV Golf isn't going to go anywhere. You know, it's we might as well make amends with it, whatnot. I think Ricky's going to be heading over there soon.
I'm surprised he hasn't already.
He has not played well on the PGA Tour, and this is a way for cash in.
Yep. I mean, he's newly married. He's, you know, he needs the cash. We know that.
Yeah. Didn't he marry that pole vaulter?
I think so.
Yeah. He was dating her for a long time. Not bad. No, no doubt. But you know what was interesting is over the weekend, and I like to watch golf, but I really follow the majors and a couple of other bigger events. And this was St. Jude was in Memphis, and Will Zalatoris won, beat Sepp Straka in a playoff. And I have to admit, and I haven't seen like the LIV events. I've gone on YouTube to see them and whatnot. But like when you go to a PGA Tour event and there's a playoff or it's exciting, like where a guy's on 18 with a one shot lead and all that, there is a lot of drama there. And it's there. And I don't understand where LIV Golf generates its drama. Does that make sense? Like Will Zalatoris is. And Sepp Straka are playing, and they get into this playoff, but they're playing well, and then everybody gathers, and everybody's excited and buzzing about the coming down to the wire and everything. And LIV Golf, everybody plays a shotgun, and do they even know do they have to tell them that they won? Like, how did Charles Schwartzel know he won? Did he have a big enough lead when he played his last hole that they went, by the way, you're up by three? And he's like, okay. But when you, let's say you're up by one, you have to wait to find out what the other guy did? Like, if you're on a par three and you're putting out, do you go, oh, yeah, right now he's putting for birdie? Like, you don't even get to see it? Like, you know those tense moments where a golfer's in the clubhouse, he shot, like, 62, and he's waiting for what the leaders are doing? He's just standing there. Then he might go to the practice range to hit some balls or something. Like, he's tense. Where is that on the LIV Golf Tour? It's like, well, did I win? Yeah, actually, you did win. We just found out that Phil Mickelson bogeyed his hole. So congratulations. Here's $4.5 million. Like, where's the drama in that? That's the only thing golf really has. Like, golf is not a very exciting sport. It's kind of neat to go to golf events and see guys hit the balls the way they hit them and whatnot. But it's not the most exciting sport. But on Sunday, final five or six holes. Yeah, it can be. There's a lot of drama there. It's that's where it can be really fantastic. But in LIV Golf, they don't even have that. They just, everybody plays at the same exact time. Everybody finishes up at the same time. You know, you might have three guys competing and they're all over the course. There might be a four man playoff, but nobody really knows until it's all done. Like, nobody's anticipating it. So I don't know. I don't know what these guys are going to talk about up in Delaware. And I'll be fascinated to hear what Tiger Woods has to say.
I mean, it can't be coexisting, right? Not the first conversation, anyways.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, right? I mean, I think, how can you kill LIV Golf? I don't know if you can, but what can you do as players to sort of minimize its, you know, its impact? Because I think if you are Rory McIlroy, right, they'll sign him tomorrow. If they could, because they would love the idea that Rory McIlroy defected, right? He said all these negative things and he came to our side. Like, welcome home. Ha ha ha. We got you. They would love it. Absolutely love it. It would be a PR dream for Greg Norman to be like, yeah, see this guy? He says all these bad things about us. He's told us we were awful. And then all of a sudden he's now playing LIV Golf. And a diabolical laugh, right? But if you're Rory, just from a PR standpoint, you can't go there now. You've buried this thing in every interview you possibly had on this. And Tiger Woods is never going to play it because Tiger Woods doesn't need the money. And also Tiger Woods finds the whole idea of it he sees the larger picture of it, and he's not for it. You know, there are golfers who are like, well, we talked about it. Hey, listen, I made the PGA Tour. Why should I continue to eat, you know, beanie weenies from a can while I travel around the country, paying out of my own pocket, missing cuts? And Tiger Woods is like, yeah, you did make the PGA Tour, but with that comes a sense of keeping your job and keeping your card and get to work, get grinding, earn those paychecks, make those cuts, get that cash. Yeah, no, getting your tour card is not a ticket to untold riches unless you go out and get it. And there are golfers who are like, no, if I earn my PGA Tour card, or if I'm one of the elite golfers in the world, I should be getting paid something to do this for a living. I shouldn't have to earn it every single week. Other athletes don't have to do that. Like, you know, we talked about Aiden Hutchinson yesterday, kid out of Michigan, played at Michigan, gets signed number two overall pick. It's a $23 million signing bonus. PGA golfers are like, I went to Q school. I made it through Q school. Where's my $23 million? I'm one of the elite golfers on the planet now, and I don't get anything. Oh, I might get an endorsement deal, or I might get a little money to wear a patch on a shirt, but nobody's dumping eight figures at my doorstep. Now this LIV Golf comes around, and they're like, yeah, we'll pay you a lot of money to play, guaranteed money to play. Why not? But Woods is looking at the larger picture and saying, no, wait. That's not what this is about. You are a professional golfer. You're a touring golfer. You're not just a club pro. You're a touring pro, meaning people pay money to see you hit a ball and score. Go out there and score. Go out there and earn it. So I'm curious about what he's going to say to them. I don't know if anybody's going to be privy to that. It's like a players-only meeting in baseball or a football where you don't unless there's leakers.
Somebody's got to leak it.
I would think so.
Right? I hope so. I'm like you. I would love to know what – I mean, do they have a game plan?
Yeah, do they have a game plan?
Because, like, I mean, they've had to have been talking about this for a couple of months now.
I got to think so, right? I don't know. I wonder what the plan is. And I do think they need to go to Jay Monahan and go, look, I know you're upping the purses, and I know everything is, you know, you've sort of seen the light, but we might have to do some things differently on this tour.
Does taking tour cars away or finding them, is that going to be enough?
Yeah, right, right.
Because, right now, you look at Phil, you know, I'll just stare at Mickelson for a second, and his tour card being taken away probably hurts him on a sub-level, but then he just looks at his account.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah.
Think Mickelson has sort of passed the Rubicon of of how disastrous this PR nightmare is. I think he's just like, well, whatever. It is what it is, you know.
But, of course he is. That's why he embraced the villain look.
But exactly. But there is the other thing, too, and we talked about this last week with Ryan Ballingy. You know, you're basically working for LIV. Like, that was all a facade. All of that, I get to play where I want, when I want. That's not true anymore. They're going to give you that money. You show up. You are going to have to show up. You'll be in breach of contract. I'm telling you, they'll get sued. If Brooks Koepka goes, no, I think I'll just play one or two of these things a year. No. That's not how it works. It's not what we're paying you all this money for. You're playing. We go to Saudi Arabia, so do you. We go to China, so do you. We go to five events in the United States, you do too. So don't for a split second think that you're going to be like, well, just pick and choose the events I want to play in. No, you're on LIV. This is your job now. You're working for LIV. We gave you $200 million, $100 million, or whatever it is. You're playing, and you're gonna play. And so they've lost a little bit of the freedom. Now, the PGA Tour made you play certain events, but they didn't tell you you had to play in this, or this. You just had to make sure you got enough events in to keep your status on the PGA Tour. So guys got to pick and choose their schedule. The schedule came out. They're like, oh, you know what? I like going to this event, and then that event treats us good. I like that. I don't really want to play there. That month is bad for me. I want to go here. There's another event overseas I don't want to go to, so that's out. That's how they used to do it. Now LIV is like, yeah, by the way, we're going to Bedminster, and so are you. So, all right, we'll talk about the Indianapolis Colts coming up. 9-8 season. It's part of our AFC South preview this week. But they've got a new quarterback yet again to try to see if they can cross over and become a playoff team that's threatening. Remember, Phillip Rivers had him in the postseason in a really good game against Buffalo the year he was there, but then he decided to retire, and then Carson Wentz came in, didn't make the playoffs, losing to Jacksonville in that final game of the season. We'll talk about the Colts next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue in this wake-up call. All right, so the Colts are on the clock today. I find the Colts, how do I say this? I find them fascinating, but not, it's not like deeply fascinating. It's like, what happened? More like that. Like, what happened? I still think it's one of the most inexplicable losses I have ever seen a team ever have. And there have been plenty where you have real legit head scratchers where like, how did that happen? You are talking about the end of the season, a must-win game on the road at Jacksonville. This is not a must-win game against a team you play once every 4 years because they're in the other conference, or maybe they're in another division and you get them every couple of years, whatever. This is a divisional game. You are familiar with Jacksonville. You know them. You play them twice a year. They go down to Florida and they lose. They not only lose, but they kick their playoff chances to the curb. So they're not in the postseason. And because of that game, Carson Wentz, who like 2 weeks before in a game against Arizona, had the team on the verge of not only making the playoffs, but being one of those, hey, pay attention, this could be good. Watch out, this team can run the ball, and Carson Wentz is playing pretty well. All of that was gone in one game. One game. It allowed the Pittsburgh Steelers to beat Baltimore and then sweat out a close game between the Chargers and the Raiders to get into the playoffs. It cost Carson Wentz his job in Indianapolis. It gave Jim Irsay heartburn. Frank Reich survived it, but now is going to have a new quarterback. It also allowed for Matt Ryan to see an opening to go somewhere else in Atlanta when they pursued Deshaun Watson. So there's like all of these things that came together after this. Imagine if they had won that game. And my God, and that's not even a big what if. If they just simply had won that football game, what would we be talking about today? A team that went to the playoffs. Who knows what would have happened in the playoffs, but nevertheless went to the playoffs. We'd be talking about Carson Wentz in year two. And, you know, let's say they lost to, I don't know, Kansas City or whoever. Oh, can they take that next step and be one of the elite teams in the AFC? Like, we would be having a completely different conversation about this team if all they had to do was beat a Jacksonville team. Now, Jacksonville, let's get to them real quick. Because in that final game, there are two ways to look at that final game that caused all of these things to fall apart for the Colts. One, the last game of the season, sometimes for teams that have been really bad years, is like a throwaway year, a throwaway game for some players. They just want to get the hell out of there. They just want to get to their families. They just want to get to the offseason. They're done. Locker room cleaned out, all of that. Maybe they're going to somewhere else and they know this is the last year they're going to be playing for the team. Maybe they're looking forward to year number two when there's a new coach, because they knew at that time Urban had been gone. There was an interim coach, that they were likely going to be hiring somebody else that was going to right the ship. So if you're a veteran on that team, maybe you're thinking, all right, I can't wait to get out of here and start next season. And if you're a guy that's sort of like, well, I was on a one-year contract, or I'm a free agent, I want to get out of here. So there was the mentality. But don't ever discount, one, the competitiveness of the players, and two, they are always fighting for their job. They're always, always fighting for their job. So you weren't going to get a Jacksonville team that was going to lay down, because there were a lot of guys on that team that were like, I got to continue to play in this league. I got to show I can play in this league. I've got to play well. So you were going to get a competitive team in Jacksonville for the most part. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some players that are like, check out, I'm done. But most of them are fighting to stay on rosters, whether it's going to be Jacksonville's roster or another roster. But still, I don't care what level of competitiveness was instilled in the Jacksonville Jaguars to play spoiler or to show good things on tape. I don't care. The desire of the opponent to win the game and get into the playoffs should have been far greater than anything Jacksonville produced in terms of motivation. And I think that in the end is what cost Carson Wentz his job. It wasn't that, overall, it was a pretty good year for Wentz. But I think that final game really showed the team, like, in the end, this when the pressure came and the foe was relatively easy, he choked. He fell apart. The defense got to him. He turned the ball over, and they couldn't. Trevor Lawrence, I think, threw two touchdowns in that game. So now here we are. Matt Ryan is on a new team. Matt Ryan, the face of the Atlanta Falcons, face of the franchise, drafted him, and he's been the Atlanta Falcon his whole career. One of the greatest to ever play in a Falcons uniform. And now he's on the Indianapolis Colts, 37 years old. So you're trying to improve on a 9-8 season, and the division is there again with two opponents that are not going to be good this season. Jacksonville may be a tougher out, like we talked about yesterday with Mark Long.
Well, definitely for them.
Exactly. But the Texans, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Gotta wait and see.
Wait and see on the Texans.
You know, I mean, I live in Texas country, and I don't think they're hyped up on them.
There's a lot of holes there that got to be fixed, right? A lot of holes.
But for the Colts, I think they need a quarterback that can just manage the game. And I think Matt Ryan's going to work out well
for them. Yeah, I do too. I don't think they need a superstar. They've got all the pieces in place.
Yep.
To have a good season. Like again, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, the wide receivers are young and still some of them need to be proven, but they've got some guys on the team that can catch the ball, and they got some good tight ends, and they got a pretty good offensive line, so they should be all right. They should be all right for Matt Ryan. If I'm Matt Ryan, I'm thrilled because I don't want to be swimming in a rebuilding pool in Atlanta. Right?
Yeah, you got a playoff team there.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, they should have made the playoffs last year. You know, Jaguars became your favorite team for a quick minute.
Oh, for a quick minute. Are you kidding? I got to tell you something. I couldn't believe that was happening.
We made a joke about it, remember?
I'll
never forget that Friday. We're going over the games of the week, and you're sitting there going like, now here's what needs to happen. And you just rolled out this, long list of things. And it's impossible for that to occur. And, of course, it does.
Would it have been better for me? Because again, having the Steelers in the playoffs was great, even though they got killed by the Chiefs. I didn't care. It was like, all right, the icing on the cake of a career for Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
But I also think it would have been kind of cool if I had a story for years and years and years that the, a 2021 Steelers, man, what a year that was. Steelers win their final game. They need Indianapolis to lose to Jacksonville, who had two wins going into the game. And they do. And all we have to do is wait to see if the Chargers-Raiders game ends in a tie, which hardly ever happens. So we were sitting pretty. And by golly, the game ended in a tie. My grandchildren, tell us about the tie again, Grandpa. Like, I was sweating bullets during that game. I was like going, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. It was one of the most exciting football games of the year, that Charger game. How Justin Herbert was still slinging that thing at the end of that game, I have no idea. I mean, my arm was tired watching him throwing, converting. Every time they thought they had them, they found another way to get a first down and keep the drive alive. And then towards the end, it was like, they're going to run out the clock. Both of these teams are going to the playoffs. And then one run, and all of a sudden, the Chargers,
It was an ill-advised timeout.
Right. Ill-advised timeout. That's right. That allowed the Raiders to get in that play, and then
they called the timeout, and the Raiders were like, wait, I thought we were on the same page.
Yeah. I thought we were on the same.
Thought we decided that we were just going to have this game end in a tie, and then, we both make the playoffs. But you really want us to win? Okay.
It's still fascinating to me that you're not getting the ball back and you called timeout. What were they trying to do?
I don't know. Right? Because, you remember that game. The Raiders were just content with like, let's just run it up the middle. Let's just run it up the middle. They're not even trying for a first down.
It's crazy. So, Indianapolis.
But see, I think that story is better for you that you needed that game not to end in a tie.
Right. That's what
And you needed the Jaguars, a two-win team, who have looked abysmal all year long, fired their coach midway through the season to beat a team that was well on its way to the playoffs. Had the best, you know, I think the best running back last year. See, that's the story. I mean, that for you is like you're sitting back going, all these, and then you have an aging quarterback, his last hurrah to beat a young up and coming Ravens team. That's always a tough out for him.
Yep.
And all three of those things happen for you. And it's just
it's crazy.
But I think the Colts. I like this team.
I do too. I really do. I like this team, and we'll have Bob Kravitz on later. We'll talk to him about it. I like this team. I like Jonathan Taylor a lot. They were the number two rushing team in the NFL last year, right? They scored. They can score some points. They were in the top 10 in point scoring. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if you're wise, if you're Indianapolis, I don't think you want Jonathan Taylor to be running for 1,800 yards, right? I think you want Matt Ryan to spread it out a little bit and kind of limit the production of Jonathan Taylor. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, when you have a dynamic running back like that, like, look, Tennessee, they love themselves some Derrick Henry, but it's a misnomer to think that that offense was always about Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry. You know, Ryan Tannehill did try to get the ball to A.J. Brown when he was with the Titans and a number of different receivers. But in Indianapolis, you've got a guy who's got another quarterback that can throw. They've had a few quarterbacks that can throw. You've got another guy that can throw, but you do have Jonathan Taylor, and I think I'd love to see what their offensive philosophy is with Matt Ryan now, with Jonathan Taylor. I mean, do they reduce the load that he has? Because some people don't like a running back to get that much production. Like, it's not necessarily the best thing. You got defenses that are lining up to stop Taylor, and then it's supposed to open it up for the receivers, but maybe the receivers are too young there. I don't know. There's a lot of questions with this team. But I like them. I like them. I think they should be one of the teams that is kicking around the playoff door, and they should absolutely, if not winning the division. Look, I'm not sold on the Titans being a clear favorite to win that division, despite the fact that they had the number one overall seed last year. I'm not sold on that. I think Matt Ryan and the Colts can do some good things this year. So we'll talk more about them as the show progresses. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. All right, so one other NFL news that I didn't touch on yesterday, but Tom Brady has left the Buccaneers for personal reasons. And I really have to tell you something. Sometimes I like to sit back and just enjoy the social media chaos that happens when I see stories like this. Just sit back and get the popcorn out, because I know people will blow up, and speculations and conspiracy theories, or conspiracies is too harsh of a term, but you know what I mean. The guys are like, I don't think it's personal matters at all. I think blah, 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 blah. It's a fun exercise. But I will say this, Tom Brady, like Peter King said in an interview, he's got so much currency in the bank right now, right? The guy wants to take 10 days off during training camp for whatever reason, personal, it doesn't matter. If it's okay with the Buccaneers, and it should be okay with the Buccaneers, let him. He's 45 years old, he's been in the league forever, 7-time Super Bowl champion, whatever he wants. He's shown over the years to pretty much everybody in the league and everybody he's ever played with and played against, he's the utmost competitor. He is so prepared for games. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what you're going to do. He probably knows what you're going to do before you even know what you're going to do. So if he wants 10 days or whatever it is to just disappear for a little bit, spend time with a wife and kids, whatever. But I do think that it's not out of the realm of curiosity to wonder how happy he is in his current situation, right? It's one thing to say, look, I miss football so much, I'm unretiring, but he's going to a Buccaneers team. Gronk's not there. He tried to kind of get out of there, you know, with this whole Miami Dolphins thing that blew up in his face. And I wonder if the unretiring part was to play football, because he never really had intentions of retiring in the first place. Because if that report is true, by Ben Volin of the Boston Globe, that was later picked up, that he had a deal to become a minority owner in the Miami Dolphins, that if then at that point he would then have worked through the paperwork to get back to playing and then play for the Dolphins, because that blew up. How happy is he? And I think it's one thing to be like, I want to play in the games. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he's like, you know what, I'm not doing training camp. So I got a personal thing I got to attend to. If you don't mind, I'll be back. And the team goes, of course, you're Tom Brady. And he knows that he's got currency built up. He knows he's got a lot of goodwill. All the teammates are saying the right things. Nobody thinks that he needs to be there. Nobody thinks that he has to be in film room and sessions or whatever. Nobody believes that. Everybody knows that Tom Brady is going to be ready to go week one when they play the Dallas Cowboys. So that being said, what's all the fuss about? Well, if we didn't have this story that was sort of brewing on the outskirts of the offseason, I don't think we'd have the people kind of on internet and Twitter and Facebook and posting, whatever it is, whatever social media site it is, speculating as to the real reason he's leaving. Now, for me, I'm just going to take it at what it is until I hear otherwise. I think it's a guy that's 45 years old, has been through a million of these training camps. They're not fun. I know young people and young, enthusiastic NFL guys think camp's fun. But I'll never forget what Clinton Portis said at Broncos camp many, many, many years ago. Camp do suck. Camp really do. I'll never forget that. And that it's the way players feel about training camp. I'm sure if you're Tom Brady and this is the 22nd one or whatever it is for him, you go, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go hang with Giselle and my kids. I'll make up something, you know? And I wouldn't blame him. But I understand, because of that story, why people are trying to add a little bit of spice to this. Trust me, sit back and just enjoy the show. It'll die down when he reports back to the team, and it will be a non-story next week. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio, as we continue on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. Ron with two N's, please.